Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire podcast is being recorded and aired for September the 9th, 2023. We're going to talk about something very, very interesting. I get emails all the time about all of this. I can't tell you just how many. I get maybe two, three a week on this, and that adds up to a big number for Greg at the end of the month. And I keep wondering why. I answer this question in so many different ways, but let's just, you know, hit it directly. This comes from Clarence. Does not tell me where Clarence lives. It just talks about the practice as he listens to it from my mouth, my words. I try to utter silence through words, but that is not always recognized by people. And he goes into all the things he would have to change if he were to go into an authentic spiritual practice. And he's just not equipped for that, he said. So he asked, why is it so hard to change? So I'm hoping that this answers all the questions that I get on this subject. I can only hope. So here's the deal, okay? We're not wired for change. We're not. We are wired genetically in our chemicals, our brain, in the frontal lobe. There's all sorts of issues with the chemistry of dopamine and serotonin and estrogen and testosterone. There's just a whole gamut of things. We are generally motivated by negative emotionality, impulsed emotions that come from our DNA that are always worrying about how we are going to survive. So with all of that said, and worrying about the tools that we do not have or maybe are obsolete inwardly, psychologically, emotionally, we worry about whether or not we're going to be able to survive our life. And as long as I get trapped in my negative emotions, and I have them just like anybody else, I would be caught in the melee of crazy parents that I had, my mother and my father, and you are too. So Clarence, the first thing you've got to understand is if you watch the news all the time and you listen to gossip or you entertain some sort of way to submerge your emotionality, which is typically going to be negative, motivated by negativity, you're going to find that change is going to be difficult. I offer catharsis to my students. Do they use it? Some do, some don't. Some kind of tarry around with it, but don't really get involved in it. And the reason why is they are hooked like marijuana or heroin or alcoholism on negativity. And that's what their life is all about. So they get involved in it and makes it very difficult for them because once the negative emotions that we listen to on the news, in movies, in conversations, once we get hooked on that, then our thoughts follow our emotions, although psychology would tell you that that's not true, but it is. I have found it to be true in me and in the people I serve in session work. We get trapped in assumption and presumptions. We have come to conclusions about many things in our life that simply are not, well, maybe even true or factual, but we like these conclusions because they're negative, because they purport some kind of negativity that accompanies and distributes my genetic nature. And my genetics are all about how to live my life in some kind of way in which I survive myself through my DNA and my genetic background. So you're not going to change your genetics and your genetics are going to be pointed towards negativity, emotional negativity, and they're going to also be pointed towards how to corral those negative thoughts by being trapped in assumption and presumption in our thinking nature. And then when we realize what we have done to ourselves, when we've actually realized it, it becomes very difficult for us to change because we just are hooked on the emotions that we're hooked on that seem familiar to us. We live in the familiarity of our discontent with our life, with other people, with ideals. We set up ideals thinking that these ideals are true, that they the idea that there should be a perfect child, a perfect marriage, a perfect job, a perfect something, a perfect outcome. We develop attitudes and beliefs trapped by the fallacy, shall we say, of thinking that we deserve certain things and don't deserve other things. I've had that a lot in my work as a teacher. And once a person has come to the final conclusion of themselves as to who they are and what they are and what they believe they deserve and what they believe they don't deserve, it is very, very difficult to change anything about any one person. It becomes very, very difficult. In fact, impossible for a lot of people. So you have to ask yourself, how important is change to me? What do I want to change? Meditation is about changing the whole enchilada. I mean, you can go, if you want to, this would not be a bad thing. You can take it a little at a time if you like, if that's what works for you. But basically, the whole idea of working upon oneself is to observe the changes that need to be made, and then understanding, I'm going to be very blunt with you, I can't change Gregory. It is simply not going to happen. I have to be able to see his fallacies, his stupidity, his assumptions. I have to be able to see the consequences of his decisions that have been made over the course of his lifetime. And I have to evaluate those decisions and realize he knows not what he does. And then I have to look at, if I had known what was going to turn out, would I have changed it then? Then you find out with all of that what kind of person you are. I mean, you really got to sit down with yourself and ask, what kind of person am I? Once you realize, and this is the key, the futility of living in the emotional, psychological patterns of assumption, presumption, and all of the beliefs that you and I have developed, then once we understand that and really get it and the consequences that go along with it, we have to walk away, in my case, from the Gregory. I hear what he wants. I just don't do what he wants. I hear what he thinks. I don't buy into what he thinks. I just let him think on his own without an audience. And as you start getting really good at this, not being the audience to your genetic thinking, you will find that your pedestrian mentality will start to fall apart. Then, when it does, you don't replace it with some other fallacy or thought. You merely live in that gap, that pause, that space between thoughts. And once you're there, you will have information and insight into many things that will help you awaken. You will have, instead of your mind and the brain of your mind functioning, you will have your heart, your soul. And that is what meditation is all about. It is the realization, the awakening of the heart to the soul, and then allowing that to be the motivation for which you do anything and everything. And believe me, if I can do it, anyone can do it. I am not special. Believe me, I'm not. I'm just consistently diligent. And that's just the way I am. So I hope that helps you, Clarence, and I hope it helps our listeners. May this all serve you well, and please forgive me. Namaste.